Psalm 23. You ever heard Psalm 23? You ever read Psalm 23? Most familiar chapter in the Bible. Psalm 23. I know I've preached on it many times. Talked through it several times. Funerals many times. Holy Spirit gives you a different light just about every time that you read the Bible. If you just let him, he'll show you a different light. So he just shines a different light on this verse of scripture, especially verse 1 of Psalm 23. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. You ever read the Bible and you've read the same thing over and over again, and then all of a sudden you see something you never saw before? You know what? That's the Holy Spirit letting us, you know, he gives you a little bit day by day. A little bit here, a little bit there. We can't take it all at one time, but when we need something and you read the Word of God, he's going to give it to you when you need it. And it's just different times that he shows you different things in the Word of God. So he shines the Holy Spirit light on the verse of Scripture or passage of Scriptures a little different in a time of needs and in a time that you're going through some problems in your life or whatever it might be. So tonight I want to talk about worry. In this verse of Scripture, we're going to read all of it in just a moment. It's all six verses, but I'm just going to stick with the verse 1. I usually do this, is preaching through it. I don't know where I preach through it or not, but I'm going to take this verse 1. It's such a great verse of Scripture. The Holy Spirit gave me something I need to talk about, and that's worry. And from this one verse of Scripture and the other verse of Scripture, we're just going to take this one tonight. He empowers us from the face or the fear of worry. Now, how many of us in here has ever worried about something? Boy, I tell you what, the Lord knows us, don't he? Boy, we nail this one down. But you see, through the Word of God and the Scriptures of God and the Holy Spirit of God, he tells us, you know, that we can be empowered from the face or either the fear of worry. Because, you know, we'll worry. And we also know the Bible tells us it's a sin to worry. We'll cover that maybe in just a moment. It's a sin to worry. You know, and you're not supposed to worry. You're not supposed to worry. Y'all know that, don't you? You do not supposed to worry. Well, when you tell me don't worry about something, I start worrying. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor come out and says, I'm going to start worrying. You know, we don't have to, but I'm going to do that. I don't need to do that, but I'll do that. Well, you do that. Well, y'all worry. Don't, if somebody tell you something, don't worry about it. Don't tell me that. Because you know, human nature we are, we'll worry about it. But this fear takes on many different faces in our life. And the face of anxiety that comes into our life. Stress, you know, a lot of people are under a lot of stress. Panic, but I believe the one that we can really recognize the face mostly is the face of worry. But I believe that all hits every one of us because you know what? We will worry. We need to be free from this. We always worry about some situation in our life or some circumstance in our life. We just knew if it happened, it's going to tear us all apart. It's just going to destroy us if this really happens. And then we find out many times all that worry we come out, you know, time and time again, it didn't ever even come to pass. And you look back, man, I was so worried. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. You ever stay up all night worrying? You ever lay in that bed and toss and turn because you was worried about something? You drove off for a minute and wake back up, you'd be worried about it. You ever worried you didn't want nothing? You just couldn't hardly eat. You ever worried? I mean, it's still on your mind, you go to work or whatever, you worried, it's kept on your mind all the time, worried about it. And we're going to find out about this. Why? Why do we worry? Well, we're going to find out God's answer to worry in just a little bit. So I want to read this verse of Scriptures tonight. And it's kind of so familiar with us, and why would God lead me here to this? But it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the great power and the verses of scriptures, Lord, we have just read. We thank you, Lord, that we can read something, Lord, that we know is from heaven. Father, we can hold it in our hand, Father, and we want to thank you, God, for the great blessings of the Word of God that you have sent our way, that God, that you did not leave us in this old world without leadership and guidance. And we thank you for the leadership and guidance of thy word. And Father, for the answer of the need we have in our life is through the word of God. And how that we need to get back to the word of God in our life, our family, and even in our churches this day in our country. It's so powerful and so great. And Father, it meets all the needs of our life. And we can't praise you enough for what you have done for us on Calvary's cross. But Lord, that's great word of God that you left, that God, we might be able to read and to understand through the Holy Spirit of God that enlightens our mind. We thank you, Lord, and we just praise you for what you're going to do through your word of God. And Father, for the prayers been offered up here this night, for all the names and unspoken requests, ones in the prayer box, God, we know that you'll work in a way that your name might be glorified, even though we don't know the people, the circumstances, Father, in their life and what they need, but we know that you do. And we just thank you for the all-loving, all-knowing God that you are. And these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, God's answer to worry. Why do we keep on worrying? Why do we keep on worrying? Well, I ask you a question. How many steps, all of us, most of you come in the front door, how many steps, if I could get you to tell me tonight, how many steps we have out here on our front porch? How many could answer that? And you just walked up them. You think? Oral probably more closer than anybody else in here because he helped lay it out. You know what? I can't not tell you how many steps are for sure. I could guess at it. Is any of you in here, can you really know how many steps out there? You think five? Oral, you're wrong then. You said seven? They five. We don't know, do we? How many times have we climbed up? How many times have we been up and down on stairs since this church has been built? And yet we didn't observe how many there were. Something better. This goes back for years. Most of us have been to the courthouse in Blackshear. Been there for many, many years, right? I have been up and down on steps. I don't know how many times in my life I've been back to that courthouse for different occasions. You know what? I cannot tell you how many steps in that court. Is anybody here can tell you how many steps in the courthouse? How many? Six? He don't know. He's just guessing. You know what? We know they're there. We have not observed the steps, even the steps of our church. And you know what? The same thing that we have, you know, we've seen them. We have not observed. There's many things in the scripture, just like this word of God. There's many things. We have seen the word of God, but most of all, we miss the greatest thing because we've seen the hand of God, but we've missed his work so many times. We've missed the work of God so many times. We have not observed the work of God. And the most important things are the detail that we have missed. We have seen, but we have not observed even the hand or the work of God in our life. Just like those steps right out there. Now, we're going to be dealing with what God has done for you in the past, in the present, and the future. It's all right here before us. It's one verse of scriptures. This one verse of scripture now as we go back and what God's done for you. It all boils down to this, if I don't get ahead of myself too much. If we had observed the past of what God has brought us through, and he's with us today, why are we going to be worried about those things in the future? We have not observed what God's done for me in the past, as I don't get ahead of myself. I'm 68 years old. Some of you are younger, some are older, but I'm going to tell you, God has been with me for 68 years. And he's brought me through many trials and tribulations. Some things that I thought would tear me apart, I'm still here. This is what I'm saying. I'll worry about something. It might be tonight or tomorrow. But why should I worry when I look back what God has done for me in the past? And I look at what God has done for me this day. And then somebody comes and says, you know what's going to happen so-and-so, and then I'll start worrying. Why should I worry if I look at the past and I know the present, and why should I worry about things in the future that I cannot control? Because as you come up those steps and you put your feet on those steps, but you did not observe how many there were. So many times in our life, that's exactly where it is with the things that God does for us in our life. The details. We have not observed the hand of God, the work of God. And the problem comes, you know what we do? We run scared to death that it's going to consume us about worry. Now, the Bible gives us a great insight into the face of this fear about worry as we knew it. I believe that David addressed this issue in most familiar passages of scriptures, and it's hard to believe that he would be talking about that in that verse of scripture, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, what's that got to do with worry? And yet, that's where David is at this time. As we see this passage of scripture, Psalm 23, I certainly believe, some say they don't know who wrote it. I certainly believe that David wrote it. I don't know when he wrote it. Some said he wrote it when he was the king of Israel that I've read behind. Some said he was an old man looking back upon his life as the Lord guided him and penned this. We know the Holy Spirit, author of all the books of the Bible. The Holy Spirit didn't just use man's hand. Most times he didn't use their mind because he put it in their mind what to write. All of us inspired by the Holy Spirit. Whereas an old man, or maybe someone thinks maybe it was as he's a boy out watching his father's sheep. Now, I'm kind of led that way myself because what I've read in the Bible, that's probably maybe he was a young boy. Maybe he was an old man looking back. It don't really matter. But we know that old Samuel, remember old Samuel had come to Jesse's house. That was David's father. And after old Saul, he didn't do what God told him to do, the first king of Israel. And, you know, he told Samuel to appoint another king. And anoint another king, went to Jesse's house. And he says, bring all your sons. I want to see him. Had seven sons he brought out. Looked at all of them. He said, they won't do. You got another one? Yeah, he said, I got a little young rascal out yonder in the field. He didn't think it was important enough for him to come in from the sheep herd. He's out there tending his father's sheep. Little young man watching my sheep. I believe maybe David was a young man out there watching his sheep. And maybe he was out on that Judean hills watching his father's sheep. And maybe David felt at that time all of his other brothers maybe was come in to be checked out for the next king by Samuel. Maybe he felt like he was a little bit depressed, but overlooked, neglected. Maybe got to thinking, you know, I am a shepherd of these sheep. And he got to thinking, you know what, the shepherd really does for his sheep. You know, God calls us sheep, and the more you read about sheep, the more you understand that we're a lot like sheep ourselves, and why God calls us sheep. Because, you know, David says, now, I've done a lot for these sheep. Now, I've watched over them. You had to have somebody watching those sheep all the time, and I have protected them against everything that will come up against them. I have defended them. I walked in front of them. I've walked in back of them. I walked behind them. I walked in the midst of them. I've nursed them when they were sick. I chastened them whenever they went astray. I led them to the place where they needed to be. I kept them from danger. And I brought them safely every night back to the shepherd's fold. I've done all this for these sheep. But then I feel like David said, well, who have done this for me? Who's watching over me? Maybe, you know, David, as he's a boy, as he was laying there on his back and maybe looking up at the stars at this time when he was thinking what he'd done for the sheep. And he said, I've done this for the sheep, and who does this for me? And maybe as he glanced up, a lot of times we need to look up to ourselves. Y'all know it? Then David realized, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. God does all this for me. God does all this for you. He does this for all of them. If he does this, and I've taken care of these sheep is not worried because I do everything for them. Well, if God does everything for me, they've said, well, why do I worry about the things of life? And you believe that God's looking out over you all the time, every day, night and day, even while you sleep? You think God's looking out for you? You think he have been looking out for you all your life? Well, why do we worry? Why do we worry? You know, the more that you know and understand about God, the less fear of worry that will consume you. That's the reason this service tonight is so important. The reason people just come on Sunday morning, or occasionally they miss the greatest service of the week. Sunday night is a good time, Wednesday night. They miss that a lot of times. And the more that we know about God, and some of them have just tore all the pieces with worry, they just worry to death about everything, just tore them up. And the more that we understand and the more that we know about God, the less things will consume us. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is his command for us to grow. So saying this, I'd like to get into our little bit of outline that I brought forth. I don't know if it makes sense to you. The four words about worry that we'll talk about. Four words about worry, or really the characteristics of worry. Worry is unhelpful. There are many, many more. We ain't got time tonight, but there are many of them. You know, worry is unhelpful. Now we get out and go out in our car in the parking lot, and you just get in there and you just crank it up and just mash the gas, and you just leave it in park and just mash the gas, and you just rev it up. All you do is just smoke and fumes and make a noise. You ain't going nowhere, right? Well, it's unhelpful. Worry's unhelpful. You ain't going nowhere. You just racing your motor. You know how the young boys used to be? Y'all boys used to be young and get these cars, you know, and you pull up the red light and there's another girl over there and you race that motor trying to get her attention. You ain't going nowhere. Just making noise all you want to do. Well, that's what worry does for us. It don't accomplish anything. It's unhelpful to us. We're just making a noise. It's just unhelpful characteristic. Unreasonable. Now, we worry about things that we cannot change. If we do, why do we worry about them? If we worry about things that can be changed, why don't we go ahead and change them and quit worrying? But we worry about things we are powerless to change, so why do we worry? What's the point if we can't change them? We can't do anything about what I'm worried about. Why do I worry? Lord said, you better listen to this yourself. Because I need it. You need it too. We all need it. It's unhealthy. See, your body was not designed to worry. God didn't make us to worry. Charles Mayo, Mayo Clinic, you know, I read an article about worry, and he has studied this in the medical journal. He printed this, and I read this about Charles Mayo, you know, founded the Mayo Clinic, and he had a study about worry, what it really does to the body, and it messes up our whole system of worry, in this article said. It affects our heart. It affects our glands, our circulation system of our body in all different ways. In other words, he said, you could worry yourself to death. Worry will kill you. Now, that was from Charles Mayo, from Mayo Clinic. So we know it's unhealthy to worry. I mean, you know what? You get to worry, like I said, you can't sleep, you can't eat. Your blood pressure will go up. You know what? A lot of people's blood pressure causes stress. That's another face of worry. Yeah, blood pressure will go up and other medical problems will start showing up in your life. It might be, no telling what it is. So we know it's unhealthy. You know, and worry is unnatural. As I said, we're not made to worry. You ever heard anybody say, I'm a natural born worrier? No, you're not. You wasn't born that way to worry. You weren't born. That's not a birth factor. It's a learned behavior. We learn how to worry. I done a pretty good job at it in my life. I don't know about you. I've done real good. I learned how to worry. You learn how to worry? Well, that's a learned behavior. It's not a birth behavior. It's a learned behavior. And David said, how can I handle the things that comes in my life? And then he said, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. That gave me some relief. The Lord is my shepherd. I know God. I know the Lord. Worry is unnatural behavior for those that know Jesus. Those that know the Lord, worry is unnatural for all Christians. It's unnatural for us. Verse 1 again, you know what it says? The Lord. In the King James Version and a lot of the version of the Bible, we have L-O-R-D, it's in capital letters. And that's there for a purpose. Now, there's a lot of translations. I'm going to tell you, and I could take some of them. They just had the first letter, L, in capital. Now, you and I don't make any difference. We don't know the language of the Hebrew. But as you study and look it up, there's a reason for that capital letters to be there from the Hebrew literature and Hebrew words. Because that is the name of God in many different ways. We only got one word for Lord in the English language, and that is Lord. That expresses all his attitudes, all of his ministry. But in the Greek and the Hebrew language, especially the Hebrew, as I studied, there was many, many different names for Lord. Jehovah. You see, whenever a translation leaves out some small detail as a capital, it messes up the whole verse of scriptures because it changes God's attitudes, the human beings. This word, L-O-R-D, capital, means Jehovah, the God yesterday, the God today, and the God tomorrow. And you remember what he said, Lord, Lord, indicates his name. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our Jehovah, past, present, and future. And then it's unnecessary to worry about our past because the Lord took care of our past, did he not? I don't worry about things in the past. He's took care of my past. We've been through some things in our life. Every one of us in our past. Didn't know if we was going to make it or not, did we? If what we worried about come true, it was going to tear us all to pieces. You're here tonight, aren't you? So I don't have to worry about that past. Jehovah took care of my past. Today he blessed me to be able to study several hours on just this one verse of scripture. So he took care of my present today. And you know, if he took care of my past and he's taking care of my present, you know what? I think he can take care of my future. Amen. Worry. Worry. It means a word that it chokes and strangles you. It'll choke all the joy and strangle your life from you. This word, worry. Matthew 6 and 25, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought, part of your mind, take no thought of your mind for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than the meat and the body than remnant. Don't worry. Don't take it. Listen. David says the same thing. I've took care of these sheep. God takes care of his sheep. I don't know how we're going to make it. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Don't worry about our basic needs. In other words, that verse of Scripture, take note, that means stop worrying about these basic needs. It don't matter what price of gas goes to, far as worrying about it. We can't change it no way, can we? So quit worrying about these things. Quit worrying what's going to happen in our country. I watch all this television, you know, and I watch, you know, the president and all this stuff, and I'll tell you, I said, I'm sure glad you're still in control, Lord. I don't know which way this thing's going to come out. But I tell you, no matter which way it comes out, God knows all about it, and he's still in control. Well, I'm afraid we might get what we deserve. Whew! That's all I got to say for America. He says, you know, I am the Lord. Now, Matthew 6 and 35 tells us, the same chapter, 6 and 34, I believe it is, therefore, take therefore. Now, everything he said, that word therefore, remember what it's there for. No thought for tomorrow. Now, don't worry about things of the day for your life. I'll take care of that. But he says, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Don't worry. If you're not worrying, don't start about tomorrow. Boy, I bet you need to take this in now, I'm telling you. You really need to take this in. Stop worrying. Don't start worrying. Y'all done started worrying, ain't you? Y'all gonna worry if I'm gonna get through or not, ain't you? Okay. These four works of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say a shepherd. He didn't say the shepherd. He said my shepherd. God have David as his possession and his ownership. Now, David, think about this work that he's done for the sheep all this time. You got to put yourself in the mind of a shepherd. All this work he's done for the sheep. And he says, you know, all this thing I've done for the sheep, God done the same thing for me. And the same thing for you. What did he do, David? What did you do, David? Well, he said, I provided for him. I done all the providing for him. You know, the sheep, the shepherd must, you know, lead them to the feed and also water. That's just a necessity of life. God's took care of you. And, you know, God's took care of this country. And people say, you know what we're going to do? The Social Security is going to go busted. I'm going to tell you, this country survived when they want the Social Security. It would scare me to death if it would go broke, but I'm telling you, I'd worry about it. But God's going to take care of us. Y'all believe that? It might have come down whenever it didn't have no Social Security if someone had a half a crib of corn and a sweet potato patch and a couple of jugs of syrup, they thought they were doing pretty good in a smokehouse with no Social Security. God's going to take care of us. David says, you know, I have provided for these sheep all the necessities of life. I furnished them what they needed in life. I provided for them or themselves. Now, sheep, you know, you have to take care of them sheep. You have to take care of them. He said, I provided for them because they had to make sure they was fed. Y'all ever seen on television old Westerns? I like Westerns and news about all I watch. And the cooking shows. I watch the cooking shows where I won't eat nothing. But anyway, you watch the old Westerns and no cattle people out there. And sometimes they have introduced sheep in a program. And there's a war going on. Boy, them cattle people, they hate them sheep people now. And those sheep people, they hate them cattle people. Boy, you bring those sheep in, they're going to restore land. Did you know that is absolutely based on the truth? Reading about sheep. A sheep left out in a pasture to tend for theirself. They will eat the grass down to the dirt till the land becomes nothing but a desert. They must be shepherded from pasture to pasture to pasture to keep them from destroying the land. And that's absolutely true. They say, well, they'll turn this great plains, they'll turn this great plains into nothing but a desert. That is absolutely the truth. I never caught about on that until I began to read the history of sheep. But they'll eat the grass down till they kill it. It dies, and there won't be nothing but desert. I said, I didn't know that. The shepherd had to keep moving them or they would starve, because once they eat it down, the grass dies, they'll starve to death. God keeps moving us along and feeding us all the time. David says, I provided for the sheep, also I protect the sheep. You know, sheep don't have way to protect themselves. All of the animals, some can run, scratch, bite, claw, whatever it might be. But you see, old sheep just don't have any way to protect themselves. They must have a shepherd. About the only animal I know of, they don't have no way to protect themselves. They can't run very fast. They're not smart. They don't have no claws. Can't bite. They could bite, probably. But you see, you don't never hear about a sheep attacking anybody, eating them up, do you? They have no way to protect themselves. David says, I guide these because they get lost so easy. You ever try to carry an old dog off? They beat you back home, or a cat? They beat you back home? No ability for directions? No ability for guidance? And then directions. Direction. Sheep behave themselves in a way they're headed for danger all the time, don't even know it. In a land over in Israel, and where they have a lot of sheep, a lot of mountains and cliffs, and you know the sheep will keep feeding until they got poor eyesight, and they'll walk off, and so maybe 100 of them will kill themselves, follow each other off, and they just die falling off a cliff without a shepherd. I read about that. I ain't got time to tell you about that. That I read about how 400 sheep went to their death. There was about 1,500, four of them went to their death, and because they have poor eyesight, and they kept feeding until they fell off the cliff. You say, well, where's the shepherd at? Well, I was reading this article. I'm going to tell you about it anyway. And I read this article. They had a hireling. Somebody was hired to take care of the sheep. They was not his sheep. He was hired to do it. You see, he was off there asleep somewhere or another. That's the reason you know that we have shepherds. Shepherds. You know, Isaiah 40:11 says, he shall feed his sheep like the shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are young. Isn't that sweet? He says, don't worry. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, he cannot be your shepherd unless he's your Lord. Now, John 10:14 also tells us, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. And then it says in John 10:27 on, read a few verses, it says, my sheep hears my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Don't worry. You're secure. You know, worry and faith won't stay in the same heart. If you worry, you know what? Your faith diminishes. Uncharacteristic of a Christian life, and it will destroy your faith. Why? Because I said it's sin. Remember that. And worry is an uncontrollable issue anyway. Worry is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. That's what we worry about it. It's an attempt to try to control the uncontrollable. Why do we try to control what is out of our control? Because we want to be in control of the situation. Why do we worry about our family sometimes? You that's got kids and grandkids. Why have you worried about your kids sometime and your grandkids in life? And you worried about them. Why did you worry about your kids? There wasn't nothing that you can do about it. They grown and they gone. But you see, you want to be in control of that situation. How about your health? You worried about your health sometime? And how about your job or all these situations out of control? Well, if we base it on our past, our experiences that God has brought us through, why should we worry? God will carry us through to tomorrow. It don't matter if it's my personal that I'm worried about. And you know, it don't matter if it's my family I'm worried about. It don't matter about the church or how we worry. Or you know what? About our country. God says, I'm going to take care of it. Deuteronomy 2:7, you know what it says? For the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand. He knows the walk through the great wilderness. Those 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. Now he's talking to the nation of Israel just before they move into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. He says, you know, I've been with you all these 40 years of these wanderings. I know every walk that you've made. I can say, you know, Lord, you've been with me, like I said a while ago, 68 years. You know, all my walking, you have been with me. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Based on this past and the present, he continues, that you trust me for the future. What the worry do to you? It exaggerates the situation, and it creates a monster larger than life in our life. Worry creates a monster in our life. I was flipping on television the other day, and it showed this Godzilla. Y'all seen this Godzilla? This Godzilla, big old, y'all seen them Godzilla? Who really knows about Godzilla? This big old or whatever that thing is. He stands up out of the ocean. Man, that ocean ain't my waist deep to him. Man, he's bigger than the ocean. He comes up there on the hill, you know, and he's bigger than all the cities and the skyscrapers, just stomping them down, you know, and here comes the military ready to get rid of him. He's bigger than all the military. You know what's wrong with us when we worry? We got Godzillas in our life. You know why? Because he's bigger than everything that you know of, and he's bigger than God in your life when we worry. He's bigger than God. We have these Godzillas. We begin to worry. You know why it's sin? Because when we worry about when it's bigger than life itself, he's the biggest thing around, that thing we worried about, what we worried about, because it is idolatry. It is idolatry to worry. Because we're putting that worry, that thing we worried about, bigger than God. Just like old Godzilla, he's bigger than everything. Well, that problem we worry about becomes bigger than life itself and even bigger than God. It replaces God in our life. Little things we blow into nothing. You ever drove through fog? It's so dark, so thick you couldn't hardly drive through it. I mean, it was so thick you couldn't hardly see. Well, I got to read about fog. Like I said, I got to spend a lot of time reading today. It rained about 4 or 5 times. And a fog that's 100 feet thick, you know, it just goes so far. And 7 city blocks. Now, how they done this, I don't know, but they'll evaporate all the water out of that fog. It wouldn't be but an 8-ounce glass of water. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to tell you what I read. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But that's what it said. That's how much that you would bring it down. It wouldn't be nothing but just 8 ounces of glass of water. 8 ounces of water would be all that fog. 100 feet thick and 7 city blocks would only be 8 ounces of glass of water. Well, really what it amounts to is, I read this, you know, it's something in our life that amounts to nothing, just about it. If that be the truth, just 8 ounces of glass of water and it's 100 feet thick and 7 city blocks wide, and that be true, 8 ounce glass of water, and whenever we worry, we bring something so little and make it so big. It is so big. And what happens when you run into fog, it blinds you. And this problem, this worry, it blinds us. In power from the face of worry, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David said, based on my God's past, he's kept care of me, and based on this night, this day, present, why should I worry about the future? Why don't I take that in heart? How come I can't count those steps and tell you how many steps is out there? Because I just don't observe the things I should observe, how God has walked with me in my life and worked with me in my life. I do not observe the things I should observe in life like I should. If we did, we would not worry about those things about tomorrow. Because he's going to take care of them today. He'll take care of them tomorrow. But I don't observe the steps that God's made in my life. Like, I don't observe those steps. I can't tell you tonight how many steps are out there. I will when I go home, because I'm going to step down. I'm going to count them. But I don't know, tell you the truth. And that is the truth. So thank God that we have the Lord that takes care of our past, our present, and our future. You have us a song. We're going to have a little bit of silent prayer. And we're going to be dismissed and go home. And then I'll start worrying.
I will sing of my Redeemer.
Think about all this.
Love to
I know
me.
There's a difference between worry and
on the cruise.